Well, all of the regular members and attendees here know that I always feel free to change the sermon at the last second, given what's going on in current events in the world. So really, the best sermons I've ever written, you never heard. Can I get away with that? I didn't think so. And I do that normally for current events, the big issues that are out there. But today I'm doing it for a personal event within my family. One of the things that when I was training young clergy to give sermons, they normally had the idea that the job of a sermon is to entertain people or to make the congregation like them. And that's not really the first thing that needs to be communicated. The first thing that needs to be communicated is there's no place else on earth I would rather be, and nothing is more important to me than what I am telling you right now. And the sermon that I wrote didn't meet those conditions. You may hear it again next year, but I'm going to have to hold it. And I'm going to talk about what happened to me and my family yesterday. And it's not because what happened to me was unique. If it were unique, I wouldn't be talking about it. And it isn't one of those clergy stories where you go from one room to another and everything changes. It's just the story of being a vulnerable human being. My wife and I were going to dinner and the theater. And we went to Felipe's, or Philippe's, depending on what part of Los Angeles you're from. And she slipped on the stairs and fell all the way down the stairs coming in. I watched it happen in slow motion, feeling utterly helpless. And no attorneys were consulted. And she said that she was okay. She didn't say that very believably, but she said she was okay. We had dinner, and I should add, she was cold sober at the time, something that we remedied later when we got home. It reminded me of what had happened to my mother. My mother in her mid-80s had been for 20 years a volunteer at UCLA Hospital, and then for 10 years a volunteer at St. John's in Santa Monica. And she slipped and fell and broke her hip, and she was in the hospital. And Mother Mary came to her at St. John's and says, "Hilda, how are you being?" And my mother said, well, Mother, I want you to know I wasn't drunk. She said, "I knows you wasn't drunk. If you're drunk, you falls nice and easy, you does." Well, Helene didn't fall nice and easy. And to the question of, is she okay? I don't know. She's sitting at home or leaning at home because she hurt her hip, her knee, her back, her coccyx. Not all that much fun. And following the sermon, I'm going to be running home because I don't like to leave her there. And we'll see. The irony is we had just come from Cousin Sam. And Cousin Sam slipped and fell 2.5 months ago and shattered his femur. And when they examined him, it turned out to be cancer. And we had visited him, and he has kidney cancer in the bone, in the lungs, on the liver, and is being treated. And when your oncologist rubs your head and says you deserve better, you understand that the prognosis is not good. So last night, I'm laying there in bed. Most of the night, if you see the bags under my eyes, this is why. Just thinking about slipping and falling and how tenuous and how precious life is and how vulnerable we are. This is the most obvious sermon you're ever going to hear because its title is Hold Close the Precious, and it means exactly that. You all know what I'm talking about. You all know that we are one metastatic mole away from disaster, one slip and fall away from a life-changing event, As a biker, I know that roaring down the street at 50 miles an hour, that's only downhill. I don't do that on flats. With quarter-inch tires at 120 PSI, you are just a slip, a roll, a blowout away from absolute disaster. The hold that we have on life is so vulnerable that a bug, a splinter, a rock thrown by a car can change everything. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time, as people have been subject to violence and accidents know, can change everything. How do we get to focus ourselves and keep our focus on what we all know? Every clergy person of every faith, every teacher, every professor, every writer knows that we are all one word, one ill-considered joke, infelicitous phrase, or politically incorrect remark away from absolute disaster. Those of us who have relationships with parents, with children, with spouses, understand that we can be an angry word or gesture or emotion away from disaster. The purpose of this sermon is not to tell you to live in fear. It is to tell you what you know, which is it is all so fragile and brief, and that's part of what makes it so precious. That what we do together, how we live together, what we care about, what our senses of priorities are in a world that has so much going on, these are the critical issues of our lives. And fate conspired to make me aware of how sometimes shallow I can be. We were on our way to the theater afterwards. She said, I'm going to be okay. Got in the car and just knew exactly where we were going because I do know, unlike Jake, I know my way around Chinatown. So I drove and went to go over Broadway, and it was closed. So I knew another route. I doubled back, and I went, and I hit Sunset Boulevard again, and it was closed. And I went and I talked to some traffic control officers, and it was closed for a race. So how do I get to the theater center? They said, what? The Dorothy Chandler, the Amundsen. Huh? Okay. But finally, they consulted and sent us down a road and then over Alameda and said, turn right on Temple. We managed to squeeze through Temple, and then it was blocked. And they sent us on to our left. And we managed to make, one and a half blocks in about 40 minutes as curtain time approached. And we stopped another officer who said, what do we do? How do we get to the center? And the officer did not say what he should have said. How do I get to the music center, everybody? Thank you. So the officer said, go down to 11th Street, which we'd still be working on. But it wasn't a problem because at 6th Street, it was blocked and they turned us in the opposite direction, sending us east. Then they said, well, if you cross over the freeway and get on the freeway and take the first exit ramp, we met with nothing but nice people during our peregrinations through downtown Los Angeles. Every traffic officer, every policeman could not have been politer, more forthcoming with incorrect information. At which point, at around 8:30, with a curtain time of 8 o'clock, and we knew they'd have to hold the curtain to some point, I surrendered. Normally, under those circumstances, had this been a regular day where my wife had not slipped and fallen on her hip that already needs replacing, on her knee that already was replaced, and on her back, which so far has been her best body part, I would have, and if we had not visited Cousin Sam, I would have been getting furious and out of control. I would have been steaming. I would have been building up all the rage for the incompetency, the stupidity. And then I started to put stuff in perspective. What's it really about? It's a theater ticket. I'm going to miss it. The money's gone. The play closes tonight. Too bad. My wife is probably going to be okay. Cousin Sam, not so much. What's important? What's precious? We all know what's precious. It came up this morning. The gift of time. She said the best gift was the gift of time of being together. There are so many times when the scene in Our Town comes to mind, where the ghost comes in and says, "People, wake up! This is so beautiful. This is so precious. This is so ephemeral. Why are you getting lost in anger, in hate on the small stuff? Why are you failing to notice, to tune in to the things that are important? Our time together. This day, where the sun is shining or the rain is pouring or the wind is blowing or the pollen is in the air, we go by so quickly. It's just a pity when you think about mortality that we waste our precious time arguing, fighting, getting really riled up over silly stuff. There are issues that deserve our attention. There are issues that should call for our involvement to make this a better world, to start over and do it better this time. Opportunities that we have to really light up our lives with feelings of satisfaction from being involved. That's a good call and a good use of our time, a good use of our passion. But start with eyes open and with hearts open to how precious these moments are. How precious and important are being there with and for each other is. I watched Helene fall in slow motion. I wanted to jump. I wanted to hop down. I wanted somehow to be able to get down those stairs before her and catch her. But I couldn't. And when I said that to her, she said, "Oh, great, so we'd have adjoining rooms." There are so many times when there are feelings of helplessness. So many times when we just feel like we are being blown about in winds of change, of happenstance. And so many times when we have choices about how we are with what we are experiencing. One of the things, and I'm giving away some family secrets here, one of the things that I used to talk to my mother about when she was alive, I still talk to her, so she doesn't answer, but I still talk to her. But when she was alive, I tried to get her some help and some therapy dealing with some of her issues. And she absolutely resisted, saying, "What could a therapist do for me? A therapist can't change the fact. I'm old and I'm going to die." That's true. But how we handle the fear, how we handle even the inevitable, how we handle the choices of how we are with our lives was given to me in the traffic blockade last night. I could have gone my usual bananas, but it was fresh in my mind and my heart and my soul what was important. As I lay awake last night, I kept meditating on these themes. What's important? What gets your goat? And are those things worth it? How do we handle the vicissitudes? How do we handle the accidents, the happenstances, the good things and the bad things. Who are the people who are important to us? What is the precious in our lives? And how can we find it, embrace it, and hold it close? Those, I think, are the great questions about life. And my affirmation is that when we are conscious, when we are present, when we are mindful, and it is hard to stay mindful, we have tremendous power to control our hearts. And when we control our hearts, we can control what we choose, what we do, how we reach out to one another to make our lives and each other's lives fuller, more blessed, more with a sense of truly the interrelatedness of all of us and the beauty of the world and the relationship of beauty and vulnerability that makes it all precious, that makes you, each and every one of you, precious. Remember it. You know it, but remember it and hold it. Hold it tight so that you are reminded to celebrate each day, each opportunity, and not get distracted by the little things that lead us into areas where we don't need to go. But those things that lead us to what we're going to be talking about and standing on the side of love, that love is the answer, that concentrating on those things that we love, on worship as from the Dutch root, worth-ship, that we hold up things to be of worth in our lives. That's what worship means. It doesn't mean a magic act. It means I have chosen what is of worth, and I hold it before me to give me solace and to give me inspiration as I hold before me all of us as we give each other solace, inspiration to engage this beautiful, delicate, and brief world in a way that makes a good difference one to another.